Welcome back to For the Record on Evolution 107.9. We're talking with Michael Barrick about Vancouver's goth scene. And we ended off briefly getting into a little bit of discussion about music and how the term really originated from the 80s music scene. I thought it was sort of late 70s, early 80s when it originated.
Yeah, you'll find the origins of what was labeled goth music happening in the late 70s. I mean, you've got bands like The Cure and Susie and the Banshees that were recording in the late 70s. But the term itself wasn't applied by the music press until, and I don't have an exact date on this, but I believe it was 1980 or 81. Prior to that, you found other terms like death rock, which is a term that's still around, actually, applying to what some people will also refer to as trad goth, short for traditional goth. And
the words doom and gloom always thrown around in certain ways.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, gloom punk and doom punk were a couple of terms that were around in the late 70s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, back when punk was slow.
Yeah, if by modern terms, I mean, you listen to some of the stuff at the Sex Pistols from 77, and these days we call it rockabilly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what they were trying to reproduce, and just by virtue of not doing it too well, it became another genre.
So music plays a huge part in the whole movement. Wardrobe does as well. The attitudes of you, as you've said, play a huge part.
Yeah, and really in that respect, you'll find it's not really any different than some other subcultures that are out there. I mean, you think of country music and the urban cowboy and people in Manhattan that have never even seen a horse walking around in Stetsons.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. People have a taste for a certain kind of music and follow the lead of the musicians in terms of what they deem to be fashionable. And I pick any style of music and you find the same behavior.
One thing that personally I've found really unique with some of the darker sides of music and culture is that no matter what, everyone is inundated with pop culture. Everyone's aware about Britney Spears. Everyone knows about all that. But I find it's pretty rare to find someone who's into generic pop music that knows anything about any of these other subcultures. And it's this kind of strange... It's a flip side to a coin where a goth will be aware of what's happening in the pop world, but a pop person won't know what's happening in the goth world in any way.
Yeah, I think that's a true statement. I think people that are attracted to, and again, it's not a phenomenon that's really unique to goth, but
no.
People that are attracted to music that varies from what's presented on top 40 radio and much music, MTV, that mass-produced sort of music.
So do you think goths ever like music that's, say, classified as happy?
Oh, yeah, certainly.
I'm trying to cling to the stereotype here.
Yeah.
You're not working with it, though.
No, I know. There's certainly even music that would fall into the goth category that would be considered happy. I mean, there's even a subculture, however you want to put that, a fractional group of goths that are perky goths is a term that you'll come across.
Really, that's new to me.
Yeah, there's.
Do they wear bright colors?
In an ironic kind of way, yeah. You'll find, pink is a favored color, it's not a small group, really.
So as I've read on your web forum, there was one thread that mentioned that some goths wear all white. Some may wear gunmetal gray, and it's not just trying to stick with the label here. You know, this person's goth, and they say they also wear this, but it's not a strict uniform.
No, not by any means. And a matter of fact, that variation from the presented mass culture, although not sort of what gets presented in the media, deviation from that uniform, as it were, is something that would be encouraged. I mean, there is one of the threads that goes back in, I hesitate to use the word subculture so much, because I wouldn't give it that much force, really. It's
okay.
But, yeah, deviation from the norm is definitely one of the unifying threads, and that follows through even within,
so you feel
in a self-referential way.
Individuality is praised.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Now that takes me to another thing that I think we'll get into with the next segment, because we're getting short on time. But referring to Satanism, and a lot of people hear goth think Satanism, and a lot of people I find think Satanism means worshiping the Christian idea of Lucifer.
Right.
Which, frankly, really isn't. Could you just give us a brief description of Satanism before we go to commercial? I know you're knowledgeable about it.
Well, yeah. It's an area, an association that I don't like being made with the goth culture, although it's individuals, a culture where individuality is praised, you'll find it's marginalized religions. There are different types of Satanism, and the sort of the Satanism that would be presented in the pop culture, the sort of crazy
devil worshipping, yeah,
you know, cat sacrificing, ridiculous. You'll find that most people call themselves, use that term, are using it in reference to Anton LaVey, who really just used the term to repackage secular humanism in a way that was antithetical to Christians. It was done for shock value.
Mm-hmm.
And in that regard, probably worked. But it's not something that has any kind of fundamental relationship with goth in any way. I know more Christian goths, Jewish goths, and atheists and Wiccans than anybody who would ever call themselves a Satanist.
Right on. Okay, well, I think we'll go to commercial break with that. You're listening to Evolution 107.9. We're talking about goths with Michael Barrick, and stay tuned.